This is a People First Radio podcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Dr. Trevor Hancock is a public health physician and a professor at the University of Victoria. He also writes a regular column about public health for Victoria's Times Colonist newspaper. Dr. Hancock's last few articles take a look at some of the determinants of health in the context of Canadian life in 2016. Dr. Hancock says he'll be focusing this year on three general themes: sustainability, equity, and governance for health.
I spoke with Dr. Trevor Hancock earlier this week. Here's that interview.
You identified key principles of public health 35 years ago, and you talk about that in your article. Now you've updated your look at those principles. Tell us about your process in that.
Well, it wasn't exactly a rigorous process. It's actually things I've been thinking about on and off over the years. I guess I've never quite put it out there, but within a few years, a couple of years probably of doing that, I realized that while I think the two principles, the key principles that I identified are fundamental, there are a couple of other ones. So the two I identified at the time were ecological sanity and social justice, and today we would call those sustainability and equity, but it's the same concepts. And I think partly it came out of my engagement with a lot of environmental issues and social issues, both as a physician working in a community health center and as someone trying to, at that time, establish the Green Party in Canada. So in some ways, it's a reflection of green philosophy. And then in thinking about that, I realized that there were some other key elements of green philosophy that needed to be embedded in there. And one would be peace, and another one would be community engagement, and actually a fifth one, I guess, would be sort of democratic reform or democratic engagement.
So you've been addressing these themes in your year-end articles. In your December 28th article, which is titled Equality, Sustainability, and Governance for Health, you introduce those as three themes that you'll be following, I think, for this year. Tell us more about ecological sanity. Give us a sense of the scope of that.
The concept of ecological sanity was actually inspired by a friend and colleague and mentor of mine, James Robertson, who is still active, but who was a noted alternative futurist and actually originally a banker and an economist. He was one of the people who founded something called the Other Economic Summit back in the 80s that became an offshoot of that was the New Economics Foundation. And he wrote a book in about 1978 called The Sane Alternative. And he talked about and contrasted what he called our current he society, he standing for hyper-expansion, with an alternative society that he called sane, humane, and ecological. The acronym for that, of course, is SHE. So he had a sort of a he and a she society, which is kind of interesting and neat. So the notion of sanity and the way he explained sane, humane, and ecological was to say that sanity is about balance within ourselves, humanity is about balance between ourselves and other people, and ecology is about balance between ourselves and the environment. So I kind of, I guess, conflated those ideas into the notion of ecological sanity. And I think it's very clear to many people these days in an era that we're beginning to call the Anthropocene, that what we're currently doing is ecologically insane. We are exploiting the planet in an unsustainable way beyond the capacity of the planet to bear it. And since we are part of the planet, that is insanity.
The second area that you're suggesting that you'll focus on in your writing and your reflection this year is social justice, and particularly you identify wealth inequality. Give us more of a sense of that.
First of all, I come at this from the perspective of a public health physician, and so I'm very conscious, as we are in public health, of inequalities in health. And there are many sources of inequalities in health. You only have to look at inequalities in health with respect to Aboriginal people, for example, to realize that those inequalities in health are rooted in hundreds of years of racism and oppression and colonization and colonialism and so on. And a piece of that, and certainly a piece of that in society as a whole, is inequalities in wealth, which translate into inequalities in health. And the greater the inequality in wealth, the greater the inequality in health. There's very good work by Richard Wilkinson, who's a social epidemiologist in Britain, in a book called The Spirit Level, which he wrote with Kate Pickett, where he shows quite clearly that for a range of social outcomes, not just health, but crime and education and so on, the more unequal a society at the same level of GDP per capita, the more unequal the society, the worse the outcomes. So social justice is also, if you like, health justice. And we are reaching levels of inequality that, for example, make the whole notion of community impossible. When you have this degree of inequality, you no longer have us, you have we and they. And that makes for an unstable community, too.
And you suggest that you even fear that we may have reached a point where there isn't going to be enough outrage about this.
Well, I think that's beginning to happen. When you separate out we and they, then they are no longer part of us. They're no longer part of we. And so we don't get as concerned about it. It's them over there. It's not us. And there's a French philosopher who wrote that when inequality becomes too great, the idea of community becomes impossible. And I've always found that a very powerful concept, and I think that's where we are.
Your third theme you've called Governance for Health, and you start out by reflecting on the 1980s when you worked for the City of Toronto Department of Public Health. Tell us more about Governance for Health.
Well, I worked for the City of Toronto initially as a health planner and then as an associate medical officer of health, and we were developing the idea of how to make Toronto a healthy city, and that spun off into what became and contributed to what became a global movement for healthy cities and a World Health Organization program. But as we thought about that, we realized that most of the factors that impact on the health of the population have nothing to do with the healthcare system. It's a determinant of health, but it's by no means the most important. And that the public policy decisions that affect health are largely outside the health ministry and the health sector. So it's housing and education and food policy and incomes policy and so on. So out of that comes the notion of what I called healthy public policy. How do you make public policy? What would be a healthy food policy, for example, or a healthy housing policy, a policy for food systems that generated good health? And so then governance for health is simply putting all of that together and saying, if the business of government and is to improve the well-being of the population, which is what it ought to be, then you have to put that at the center of your process of governance. And right now, that's not the case. If you look at the process of governance and what's at the center of it right now, it's the economy. Did the GDP grow? What we really should be saying is, did levels of human development increase?
Now, the last time we spoke together on these topics, it was just before the federal election. Now, in the aftermath of the recent federal election, do you have any observations about what could happen, what might happen? Do you feel more hopeful about governance for health in Canada?
Well, I certainly feel more hopeful. I mean, anything that isn't Harper makes me feel more hopeful. But I think that we're still actually within many of the same old paradigms. It's still the economy that's the focus. It's still GDP, for example, that people focus on. So I think we've still got a long ways to go. I mean, clearly, as someone who was the first leader of the Green Party in this country back in the 1980s, I would much rather see a Green Party in power. Although power isn't really the issue, but I really want to see the principles of Green thought, of the principles of ecological sanity and social justice and governance for health brought into and made central to the process of governance and in fact to make central to governance sustainable human development. That's the business we should be in. And I think we're a long way from that. And whether it was liberal, NDP, or conservative, the underlying paradigm, I don't think has shifted. The way they have different takes on it, but it's still the same paradigm. So we still have a long way to go. But we're certainly a better off country than we were 3 months ago.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, maybe one point, and that is that I also believe, and I think it in part is rooted in my experience with healthy cities and working for the City of Toronto, but also in the notion of green politics, which is essentially a decentralist politics, and green thought, is that the way that a lot of this is going to happen is at the local level, and that we need to create healthy and sustainable communities. And in fact, if you look at where does leadership come from in this country, very often it comes from the municipal level, whether we're talking about reducing carbon emissions or whether we're looking at smoking policy across a whole range of options of issues. It's often local government that takes the lead. And so I think we need to really focus on how do we create healthy and sustainable communities and then move that up to how do we create healthy and sustainable provinces and a healthy and sustainable country.
Dr. Trevor Hancock, thank you very much for speaking with us on this.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Trevor Hancock is a public health physician and a professor and senior scholar at the School of Public Health and Social Policy at the University of Victoria. You can find his newspaper columns in the Times Colonist and online at timescolonist.com.
People First Radio is an initiative of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and broadcast on CHLY 101.7, radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the partnering organizations. Listen to People First Radio on demand. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpages.